for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
Well, here we go once again with the Cabranes Law Hour here on WRJN. If you want to call in, here is our phone number. WRJN is 634-9756. That's 634-9756 or 634-WRJN. If you want to call the Cabranes Law Office directly, 262-638-0529. That's 638-0529. We're joined by Attorney Cabranes and Associate Attorneys Shanaz Lakhdawala and Jordan Schrader. Per usual, how this is going to work is we will fire off a conversation, and you can either join in or jump in with any of your own questions regarding the law. Just give us a call, and that is that. With that said, Attorney Cabranes, how are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Or actually, technically afternoon.
Yes, it is.
I know. Good morning, ladies, or good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon.
You said that so nicely together.
Good afternoon.
Well, you know.
We're always so in unison.
Nice. I like. All right, well, what's on the docket today, Attorney?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about a topic that drives me crazy, I want to see if it drives anybody else out there crazy, and that's kids, and you know, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but the bottom line is I don't get what's going on with kids these days, and the reason I say that is, you know, we've all heard now last week about the shooting last Sunday, I think it was, of the two brothers up in Milwaukee, committed by a 14-year-old who was trying to rob them. And he had an accomplice who was 13 years of age and killed these two brothers who, by all accounts, were pretty good kids. How do we get to this point where 14-year-olds are killing? I mean, and it's not just, you know, you can say that this 14-year-old is an aberration, maybe, but the truth is, if you look around and you see what happens in Milwaukee and Racine and in other places, you know, it's kids committing these, you know, horrible, violent crimes. And there's no respect for authority. There's no respect for life. There's no respect for anything. And so the question I want to put to the audience is, why do you think that this is happening? I mean, you can say that it's a lack of religion, and there may be some of that. You may say that it's the loosening of the moral fabric of the country, and you may be right there. You may say that it's all these violent video games that these kids play, and it cheapens life for them, I guess. They view life as a video game. But you know, I think hand in hand, you have to start looking at, you know, in the mirror and start saying that some of the parents have dropped the ball. I have experience in at least one case where I represented a client in homicide. And he was 15 years old, and he was living on the street like he was an adult. And then all of a sudden, he gets in trouble, and it's the family who wonders where everything went off the rails. So, you know, there's a family component to this. So, I'm curious. I mean, Shanaz, Jordan, anybody who wants to call in, you know, what do you think, A, is the cause, and B, what can be done at this point? Because, you know, the law restricts a parent's ability in some ways to discipline these kids, because it used to be, and I got to tell you, I'm 56 years old, and when I stepped out of line, and I stepped out of line a lot when I was younger, but when I stepped out of line, Scott is my witness, when I stepped out of line, it was, and I had to really step out of line, I really had to go way over that line. But when I went over that line, I knew that there were consequences. And I knew that my butt was going to be sore because I knew that I was going to get, you know, a couple of good whacks on the rear end, and I was going to be put in my room, and I was going to be denied privileges. And I, you know, I don't think that that happens anymore.
Yeah, I got spanked as well, and I don't know if that really was that good of a deterrent because I kept doing the same stuff over and over. I mean, there's a question, too.
Well, that's true, but you got better at hiding it, though.
Yeah. Oh, great. I'm sure that was my parents' intent. I guess my first question would be, and don't forget, people, give us a yell if you want to jump in on this, 634-9756. Is this happening more, or are we getting bombarded by the news of it happening? You hear about these heinous things. People might say, well, this has been going on since day one. Now it's getting reported harder because, you know, 24-hour news has to have something to talk about, and they dig and dig and dig, and anything they find, they will sensationalize, and we hear about it more than we used to. Maybe it always has happened like this. These kids going nuts.
Well, it's possible, I guess. You know, but I think that though that in any 24-hour news cycle, a 14-year-old gunning down two brothers on an armed robbery, that would probably be at the top of the news cycle until it got bumped by something even more salacious. So, you know, I you know, and it's not just in Milwaukee you see it. I mean, you saw that about, what is it, 2 months ago in Chicago, where this handicapped kid was sort of lured into this apartment building,
yes,
where he was tortured on Facebook Live.
Live, yeah.
You know, and you wonder what's going through these people's heads. I mean, the level of cruelty to do something like that is just unimaginable.
Right, and that's sorry. And at that point, it's like, is it something that the family does to make them this way? Or is it just something in their brain chemistry itself that kind of devoids them of any sort of, like, moral, you know?
Let's take a phone call. Hi, caller. You're on WRJN, the Cabranes Law Hour. What can we do for you?
Hey, I'd like to be in on all of this.
Jump in.
I had that problem with my son, too, man. He's young. I'm working on the road. His mom was out doing things. He's stealing cars. He's getting in trouble, not going to school. I slap him around. I go to jail for it. But yet, I was trying to make him a better person by going, look, there's consequences for your problems.
Okay.
And I don't condone, but he was 15. But it got to him. He finally learned it. You know, he's seen what the consequences are, even from my actions.
Now, are we talking about beating the crap out of the kid or giving him a spanking?
No, it was just open-handed. You know, look, you do, you know.
And you say,
you know,
it worked.
Fight with me. He swung at me. He had to get it back.
And you say it worked, though.
But I think it's wrong. But I think the law has become to a point where we can't discipline our children. And I don't know how to exactly explain it, but you have to make it right. I mean, let the government stay out of our problems. If there was more fathers in the household, maybe that's the biggest problem.
Well, but I don't disagree with you. You know, there was a time, and I'm not saying that these problems are particular to any particular community, okay? But there was a time when you used to hear about strong black mothers, and you know, Dr. Carson, who is going to be our new Secretary of Housing, you know, talked about the fact that he grew up and. And, you know, when he stepped out of line, his mother would come down on him like a ton of bricks. And you know, I you sound like you're about probably in my age group.
I'm 55.
Well, then you're in our age group.
That's
okay.
Us.
And so.
And the neighborhood took care of us. You got out of line with the neighbors, man. The neighbors smacked you, then you went home and got smacked again.
Well, that's right. That's right, because you didn't get away with anything because the neighbors were watching, and even if they didn't smack you, that phone call would be over in your house and talking to your parents before you got home, and they knew what was going to happen when you got home.
Or the same thing with the schools.
To a neighborhood raising a family.
Yeah, and the schools used to knock you around a little bit back in our day, and then you'd think the parents are going to yell at the principal, or are they going to yell at you again, and you get it twice as bad?
Well,
correct.
Well, you know, I was a victim of Catholic high schools, and actually Catholic. And I got to tell you, excuse me. Now there was There was nothing so fearsome as Sister Graziella coming at you with that ruler, because you knew your knuckles were going to take a hammering. And if you were lucky, it was just going to be your knuckles. But I don't disagree with you. I think that there is a lack of consequences, you know, and
I think people just aren't paying attention. Like you were saying, you had the whole neighborhood involved, and I don't even know my neighbors. No one's outside.
That's what's sad.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think that people are so engrossed in their phones or the TV that they just aren't paying attention to what's going on around them, and that's how these kids get out on the street and start causing trouble. And they don't have that same, I think we've talked about this on the show before, where they have the risk-benefit analysis, and they just aren't, they think that the risk is worth it.
Yeah. All right, caller, I appreciate your call.
Yeah, thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys, I thank you for listening to me, and I love the show, man. You guys take care.
I'm glad to hear it. Thanks again. Feel free to jump in here, 634-9756. That's 634-WRJ. And so what we're saying is we've got to inflict pain on our loved ones to keep everybody in line. This is where we're at now.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily – we laugh because, I mean, it sounds crazy. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be physical pain. All consequences, all actions have consequences. Good actions generally have positive consequences, and negative actions generally have negative consequences.
Well, and then to your point with that, when I was saying, you know, people aren't paying attention, they're not paying attention to the good actions, so they don't get rewarded for those. They just get rewarded for the really bad stuff that they hear about. And they don't know the whole story.
Yeah, and you know, I think you can look at a lot of socioeconomic factors, and I see we've got another phone call, so we'll take that call.
Hi, you're on WRJN. Caller, weigh in.
Yes, I'm the youngest of nine kids.
Wow.
And I was basically raised in like a blue blood family, and a farm girl. But I think a lot of it has to do with that there's no parent home, you know, enforcing this.
Everybody's
because,
working.
I mean, how many of us have, you know, gone to school, got in trouble, come home? Oh, wait till your father gets home. I mean, you know, most of our parents would be in jail right now of the things if we actually came out and said, you know, what had happened and so on and so forth. But me raising two boys, I can say that for an example is because I married too late after divorce, and I had a husband who came in, and he was, you know, a good upbringing, so on and so forth. And we had social services involved when he got to be about 13, 14, got mousy, you know, swung at my, you know, husband. And, yeah, it was a mess, but I think there's no parent there enforcing.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. And, you know, the biggest problem that you have, I mean, so these were your husband's stepkids?
Basically, it was my son, and I married at, what, 13? You know, that troublesome age where they're experimenting and influence of other people. And
no, the
know,
son is 13.
Like
the son is 13.
Your son
right?
was 13. You didn't get married at 13.
No, he was 13.
He was 13.
And then I got married, you know, too late. When I got divorced, he was 4 years old.
Right. So you have a stepdad in there, and then now the 13-year-old's giving you trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
See, part of the problem. Exactly. Part of the problem is that under the law, a stepdad doesn't have the same rights as a dad does.
And so.
You know, you got to be careful about the discipline in it, because you have a lot of the same obligations, but you don't have a lot of the same rights to discipline the child. And so, you know, being a step parent these days is really, really tough. But, you know, what do you think can be done to at least impose some level of understanding that there are consequences to bad actions? I mean, you know, I think. We would all agree, maybe, that, you know, this type of education starts at home. And so
exactly.
What do you think needs to be done? I mean, how do we change?
I think a lot of these parents need to own up to their children. And that's the thing, is they're like, oh, not my child. You know, my child would never do that. You know,
That doesn't sound like Billy. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, exactly. Parents don't want to own up to it.
I don't want to get too personal, but how old is your son now, and how are things going? I mean, how did you deal with this issue?
He's 17 years old.
Okay.
He's 17 years old, but what we had to do is throw him in foster care to scare him.
Wow.
Well, that's
That's what it took, because I could see the path he was headed on. And I knew that if I didn't do something about it, I mean, it was hard. It broke my heart to have to do it. But that's what it took. But now he's doing excellent. He's an honor student. He's 17 years old. You know, scholarships coming from every direction. He's doing great. But it took therapy as well.
So what you're advocating is, and correct me if I'm wrong, basically tough love. That at some point you just got to dig in and say, you know what? You've gotten to this point, and you go no further. And there are consequences if you go further. And in his case, the consequences were he went into foster care. And I have never been in foster care. I have never been a foster parent, but I've been around enough foster parents and in the system to know that that's not an ideal situation in a lot of cases.
Exactly.
So
how long was your son in foster care?
The cost of living nowadays is so high, you can't have a parent home.
How long was your son in foster care? Caller? How long was your son in foster care before you saw this kind of change in him?
About 3 years.
Wow.
Wow, that's
and it broke my heart. And, you know, I told him, I said, listen, you can't be doing these things. You know, and we were in Madison at the time, and I could see the neighborhood getting bad. And he went to middle school, and I could see this change in this attitude. The grade school was great, but he was too immature to be dealing with the problems that are going on in school. I mean, we never thought in our day about guns and so on and so forth.
I mean, that's right.
The level that these kids are stressed with is unbelievable. I mean, you know, and he finally told me that he was offered drugs as early as 9 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean it's a different world than the one that we grew up in. It really is, and you're talking about guns in schools, and we didn't have, at least I don't remember ever seeing a police officer on my high school campus, it just didn't happen. You know, when you got into a situation in school with other people. You might get a bloody nose and a fat lip, and you might take some stitches, but you didn't have to worry necessarily about somebody pulling a gun on you and shooting you. It just didn't happen that way. And the question I guess I put to all of you is, I mean, how have we gotten here, and how do we sort of come back from where we are? Because my theory is, just that that we've babied these children. We've taught them how wonderful they are. We have essentially made life as easy as possible for them by giving them participation trophies and these kind of things, and we've essentially told them that they're so wonderful that there really are no consequences to your actions. And then they like any teenager, like any child will. They push the envelope to see just how far they can go.
You're correct.
And we're not pushing back to show that you can't go past this point. And that's my philosophy. You know, I can say it. Some might argue with my position, but that's my point of view. And I've represented juvenile delinquents or people accused of juvenile delinquent acts. For over 20 years, and so I've seen them, and a lot of these kids are good kids who just screwed up. I've seen their parents, and I gotta tell you, in a lot of cases the parents have been nightmares. I formulate my belief based on what I see, and when I see parents that just won't accept that their kid is becoming a terrorist, then you have to understand that the problem is starting at home.
Right. When I used to work down in juvenile court in Wauwatosa, I saw that all the time, where it was the parents that just, they wouldn't foster the environment that the child needed to better themselves. It was, they'd come to court, you know, and give excuses for their child, or no, you know, he's sorry, I want him back home. And it was so sad when the child got taken away that they would retract everything that they had said and whatever the issue was, just to make it so that the child could come back home. And I think parents these days coddle their children a lot. And I mean, when I was little, both my parents are from India, so you better believe I got spanked when I got in trouble. So, you know, I mean, and I turned out, I think, okay.
You seem okay.
Yeah. A lot of these kids, they guilt the parents. If they don't have this certain video game, then they're hearing it and so on and so forth. I mean, I held off as long as I possibly could to, you know, give my kids video games and so on and so forth. It's because of it. And I mean, in some of these shows that are on, like Criminal Minds, I can't even take it as an adult, some of these things that are the extent that they're going into.
Right, but then it's your job to keep your kid away from that.
Exactly.
You know, and good luck when everybody's busy.
These kids are always plugged in. There's no winding down or whatever. I mean, there's no way to relax, so they think they got to go all the time. Well, you can't live life in the fast lane.
All the time. And caller, we're going to let you go, but I'm really glad everything's turned around for you. Good going.
I love your show. I'm 46 years old, and I can't believe that I'm listening to a show that my dad used to listen to. I will not admit it.
Well, the Cabranes Law Hour wasn't on back then, we'll say that.
Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in.
Yep,
and
bye-bye.
God bless you. Take care.
Thank you.
Same
you
to
bye-bye.
You, ma'am. You know, she brings up a good point. Everybody's working, and that one of the things she said earlier, do we have time to parent? I mean, is this it? Is that it? Yeah, what's on TV? I mean, well, it's the parents' job to, we were in bed at 9 o'clock when I was a kid. You know, my folks knew where I was. They knew what I was watching on TV. There was no internet. Maybe it was just easier back then.
Well, I agree. I think that, technology changes things dramatically. We lived in a simpler time. I mean, there's no question that we lived in a simpler time. I mean, we didn't have the entertainment options back then that we had now. Our entertainment options were radio, TV, and the baseball glove or the football, and we'd go out and outside and play with our friends. There was no in television, because that was the first one I remember coming out, Atari, all these other things. There was none of that when I was a teenager. We went out and we socialized and we played sports and we did a lot of stupid things. Some of them we got caught, some of them we didn't.
I don't think it all has to do with technology, though, because there are plenty of children out there who that same technology.
Just going to say that.
Turn out okay.
Yeah, there are lots of kids who are doing just great, and they still work hard, and they still socialize with friends, and they still exceed at sports, or succeed, rather, and do great in college. I mean, let's not say every kid is doomed. Here.
No, I'm not suggesting that. Well, you know, maybe somebody might interpret me as saying that. I'm not saying that. But I think that, you know, what happens is it's a combination of a number of factors. I mean, you have socioeconomic factors that obviously kick into this. You have, parental factors that kick into this. You may have technological factors that kick into this. And let's face it,
Also biological. If, you know, factors as well. Some people, I mean, just brain chemistry, the way that they're, you know, wired.
That's right. They could just be completely nuts. little sociopaths.
Well, and there's X amount of that throughout history.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've had that all along. Mm-hmm. You know, but, part of the thing is that we used to control it better, I think, that there was a way to get at these people and to give them and help them in some meaningful way. Part of the problems, of course, it's no surprise that to anybody who's listened to this show that I lean to the right of center. One of the first president that I ever voted for was Ronald Reagan. And as much as I think Ronald Reagan was a great president for this country, you know, the reality is that a lot of people that should have been in mental institutions wound up in jails in this country, because the ability to help those people was cut back in terms of budget cuts and things like that. That money has never really come back into the system for that. And so, you know, you have these kids now who may be growing up and may be growing up in a situation where they need help. And the money is not always there to help them.
Right. And we need to break soon, but we have a caller on the line. Let's take one more call before we go to break and news. Hello, caller. You're on the Cabranes Law Hour. Weigh in.
Hi. I was a high school teacher on other levels, and I've raised three kids. And I just want to say something about that brain chemistry thing. The diets that the kids eat these days and the lack of sleep, I think, contribute a lot to faulty thinking. That's all I want to say.
To the behavior problems?
Oh, yes.
Well, I think I think you're...
If you have a bag of chips and a soda for lunch, you know, which a lot of the teenagers that my high school did, you're not getting proper nutrition, and they're not followed with proper nutrition at home. A lot of them have real young parents or parents who work. So, they're not getting the guidance. It's very complicated, many factors involved. Mm-hmm. But I think we forget to look at something so basic as a good diet and a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I would tend to agree with you. I mean, I think the studies are pretty clear that as you get older, you don't need as much sleep. But, you know,
when you're young,
you need it. And that's when they're not getting it. So maybe that's...
My daughter, who's a doctor, says, you have to wake a child to go to school. They're not getting enough sleep.
Wow. Now, how long have you been teaching, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, I got a disability retirement a while ago, but I was teaching for about 15 years, and I've done a lot of different jobs.
And have you seen what you see as this problem and the reasons for it get worse over time as time goes on?
Absolutely. But I also, when I was teaching, I taught in South Central L.A., and my students were afraid of me.
No pain.
Congratulations to you for surviving that experience.
I'm a little person, but I didn't accept nonsense. A lot of the teachers were intimidated. The kids ran all over them. The kids are smart, you know, and they're going to manipulate when they can. Like you say, they're going to push that envelope, and if it yields, they'll go running through.
Well, I've always considered kids like little puppies, you know, dogs. Okay, a dog will go as far as you let a dog go. If a dog thinks that they can growl at you and intimidate you into getting what it wants, it will do that. And I think the kids are the same way. They'll push that envelope, and you've got to smack them on the nose and let them know that's it.
And caller, we appreciate your call.
A lot of my students, a lot out of them, because I told them they were smart. And one student at the end of the year came to me and she said, you were strict because you loved us.
No way.
No.
And it worked.
Yes. And I said, shh, don't tell anybody.
Well, we're glad you survived L.A., and thanks for calling in today.
Thank you. Enjoy your show.
Not just L.A., South Central L.A.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks again, caller. And we need to take a break here. We've got Tom Karko ready to go with news. Our phone number, we're going to come back to this, 634-9756. That's 634-WRJN. If you're a little shy about talking to us on the radio, you can call the Cabranes Law Office at 262-638-0529. That's 262-638-0529. Your first consultation is always free, and we'll be back with more of the Cabranes Law Hour after news here on your radio friend, WRJN.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
This is the Cabranes Law Hour. Welcome to it. Our phone number here is 634-9756. That's 634-WRJN. This program is brought to you by Cabranes Law Offices, LLC, No attorney-client relationship is being created. This show is intended to provide legal information and not legal advice. The attorneys have neither the time nor the information during this show to fully review your particular legal issue. Be aware that in some cases, time limits may apply to the prosecution of your case, and you should seek legal assistance as soon as possible. Cabranes Law Offices, LLC, make no representation that the information provided today has specific application to your particular legal case. Again, our phone number, 634-9756. You want to call Cabranes Law Office direct, 262-638-0529. That's Cabranes Law Office in Racine, 262-638-0529. Your first consultation is free. And with that said, we're getting back to solving the world's problems. Attorney Cabranes.
That's right. That's right. All you have to do is send a check or money order in the amount of, and I will put it to good use to solve the world's problems. But no, now we were just talking about kids and you know, how things have gotten out of control, how kids now are committing crimes that, you know, are horrific for any age, but especially for kids that are just barely in their teens, and you just start to wonder where we've went off the rails on this thing.
I think it's got to be, and I think a couple of great callers that we had have agreed that there's some lack of parenting, or at least to some degree, maybe that we had that kids now don't. Everybody's at work. Everybody's too busy. Back when, you know, Leave It to Beaver days, mom was home and took care of everybody and all that sort of thing. That seems to be what I hear a lot.
Well, you know, I don't disagree that. And in fact, I strongly agree that there's a huge parenting component in there, and you know, you see that you see the inability of some people to be parents, you know, because we do CHIPS cases, and for those of you who are uneducated in the process, that CHIPS is a child in need of protection and services, and usually they're in court because they've been the victim of some type of abuse or neglect, and you know. There are just some people who, for whatever reason, just are not equipped to take care of their child at that particular point in time. You know, so as part of the process, the state tries to bring you in, you know, we fight these cases like hell because, you know, the CHIPS process is the first part of a process that could end. I'm not saying will end, but it could end in the termination of parental rights. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when we get a CHIPS client in, I mean, we're fighting like hell to avoid having, you know, that person having a CHIPS order put on them, because at that point then, you know, you're on the clock and you have to get, you know, your act together and you have to do this programming and you have to do what you got to do within a fairly short period of time if this child is out of the home. The government could start what they refer to as a TPR, which is a termination of parental rights process. So, but those people clearly exist. There are people who are clearly incapable for whatever reason, either emotionally, psychologically, it generally not financial. In fact, this CHIPS statute specifically bars a CHIPS order just to basically purely on financial reasons. This abuse or neglect, I mean, usually, and it's usually neglect in a lot of these cases, although some of the CHIPS cases that we see coming in are parents who are so frustrated with their kids that they give them a couple of whacks, mm-hmm. okay, and they leave a palm print on the little angel's rear end, or they just cross that line, was so frustrated and hit them a little harder than they should have, and the next thing you know, they're in court, mm-hmm. kids are being ripped out of the house.
The one kid, but all the kids in the house.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a problem with little Johnny here and he calls the authorities on you, all of them are out.
All of them, yep.
Really?
Well, mm-hmm. All of them. If social services determines that there has been abuse or neglect on one, then all the other children are determined to be at risk of abuse and neglect, and so therefore they all get pulled. And so, you know, you can have a family, you know, and I've had these cases, you know, you have a family of, you know, mom, dad, and four kids. The next thing you know, you got the four kids in foster care. Mom and dad are each paying child support on these kids. You know, whatever bad situation they had has just been made tremendously worse. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, if it's an abuse case, where they're alleging that, you know, dad spanked a kid on the rear end and left a bruise, then, you know, dad's also getting charged with a felony child abuse case in a lot of these cases. So, you know, it's a strange world that we live in, because we want parents to exercise their parental duties. We want parents to sort of keep control over your children. But in a lot of ways, and I'm not saying that child abuse is a component of keeping kids under control, but certainly, you know, for people of my generation, we understood that stepping out of line had some physical consequences. And it seems that the limits of those physical consequences has been redrawn time and time again, so that any reasonable person who understands what the law is would be afraid to physically discipline their child.
Now I'm hearing this a lot from people, and you too. Now, are we marginalizing this a little bit? If you spank your child and there is a handprint on the buttocks, we're talking about you're going through the courts with this?
You could very
Are we maybe overstating that a little bit to make the point?
No, I don't think you are. I don't think you are, because I've seen cases where a kid gets slapped across the face, open hand slap. Okay, there's a red mark on the face. All of a sudden the cops are called, social services are called. Photographs are taken. I've seen the photographs.
Well, yeah, but we just went from a little handprint on the bottom from a spanking to getting hit in the face. To me, that's a difference.
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, a slap in the face. Have you ever been slapped in the face?
I have. Not by my folks.
Okay.
Don't need to go there. But no, I got spanked plenty of times, and it hurt. And I do just about anything to avoid it, but I never got slapped in the face or banged around in that way.
Well, one time I used some fairly choice language in front of my parents, actually directed at one of my parents. I was young and stupid, and I was very angry at the time because they were denying me something I thought I should have. I can't remember what that was at this point, but I do remember throwing a tantrum and saying something that I probably should not have said. And I took a slap across the chops. You know, it hurt. It stunned me. And I immediately realized I had crossed a line. I never spoke to either of my parents in that way again, because I knew that I had gone way past and what was acceptable.
So that deterrent worked.
For me, the deterrent worked. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say that I was a hellion, and you know, I was constantly getting, you know, spanked. But you know, as you get older, you learn through doing. And so, I learned that if I acted in a certain way, there were going to be these consequences that were going to be levied against me. And then, you know, if I didn't want that, then I wouldn't act in that certain way. And as you get older, you know, you start building this library of adverse consequences to certain actions, and you stop behaving in certain ways, kind of negative or negative reinforcement.
Right. And if you're logical enough and have the abilities to put that together, some of these kids, emotional problems, mental problems, they don't have that.
Well, they don't. And you know, that's not only emotional problems and mental problems for the kids, but, you know, think of the kids who are living in a situation where you've got the parents who have mental problems or psychological problems or drug problems or mm-hmm. alcohol problems, mm-hmm. and there's that. You know, that is going to create a certain amount of disruption in your thought processes, because, you know, there's studies. I mean, there are studies that have been done about children that grow up in houses where there is violence. And, you know, one of the most disturbing studies that I saw a few years ago was that females who grow up in houses where father beats mom tend to find mates that beat them. And interestingly enough, boys that grow up in that same situation tend to be more commonly abusers in those type of relationships. And so there is absolutely a violent effect from father and mother down to the children. That's passed on, and that's clear.
Yeah, and you'd think it would go the opposite. If you grew up with this horrible situation, you'd be the last person to do that, but that's not the case.
No, and the only thing I can think of, and I honestly, I remember the studies, the end point of the study. I don't remember the conclusions that the study drew, but my thinking is that it becomes a normal situation. It becomes a normal way of life. It becomes a normal way of interacting. And so, you know, so if I don't get what I want, I just flip out and beat the tar out of somebody, and then I'll get what I want.
That's your routine.
Yeah.
About these, I mean, on the flip side of that issue where parents are not involved or maybe, you know, not there and kids go crazy or kids lose control, I've heard of some instances where parents are just too involved and they're just pressuring the child so much that there's just too much pressure to maybe do well in school or be good at sports or whatever it may be, and that leads the child to act out violently or something or take that aggression out or whatever they're getting at home out on someone else. I mean, that happens too.
And they call that the helicopter parent.
So that's why, I think parents are just have it really tough right now because they have to have this balance, you know. They can't lean any way too far to the right or too far to the left on, you know, how they discipline their kids or...
Well, and even if the slapping is an issue, like you were saying, if they get to the CHIPS point, the Children in Need of Protection and Services, that usually the parents are capable enough of following the rules to not get to the termination of parental rights. That's where you see the more serious, serious abuses or, yeah.
This is the Cabranes Law Hour with Attorney Cabranes and Associate Attorneys Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader, who just weighed in. Feel free to give us a call, 634-9756, 634-WRJN, the office of Attorney Cabranes, not doctor yet, but we're working on
it,
262.
Technically, I am a doctor.
Oh, really? He's a doctor of laws.
Good to know. 262-638-0529. That's 262-638-0259. We made a... observation years ago. We went to get a couple cats for our kids. We went to a humane society, and the hoops we had to jump through to get these cats was unbelievable. And we thought, you know, anybody can have a baby, no questions asked. But boy, to get a cat or a puppy, I mean, maybe people should have a handbook on how to raise a child or get a license or something like that, and now the government jumps in. It's a big mess, but you know what I mean.
Well, if a person has already had a child taken away from them in the termination stage of this, if they have another kid, they're already on alert, like the government is for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't want the government to leap in every 2 seconds and raise my kids, no. But you see what I mean? You know, there's a point there.
Yeah, and you know, part of I think your point. You know, taking it a step further and analyzing it a little bit more, you know, you're right that some people, when you have a kid for the first time, you know, the parenting skills are not necessarily a natural form of, it's just not natural. Mm-hmm. I mean, you obviously, the love that you feel for your child, that's natural. But, you know, how you raise the kid. And, you know, there was a, you know, I hate to mention Hillary Clinton in any context, but, you know, Hillary and her It Takes a Village, I think is on point. Because we were talking about this earlier. You know, it used to be that the neighbors looked over you. It used to be that your parents were on you.
Yeah, that's what Jordan said, too. I
mean, yeah.
Whole neighborhoods, or was it you? The whole neighborhood's in there helping.
Yeah, it's one of the callers called.
And then if you yelled at the kid, you'd get it twice as bad when you get home.
Yeah, no, it's you know, and you know, the parents had grandparents that would sort of help them and give them advice on how to handle the kids in some cases, or in some cases throw them to the wolves and let them know how it was when, you know, they were raising them.
Yeah.
But in any event, that there's just there used to be a support system for parents. I'm not sure that's there anymore. And that may be part of the problem.
I think the way the neighborhood interacts isn't the same anymore. I think we're so kind of, I mean, how many times you just drill into a child, or at least we used to, I mean, you can't talk to a stranger, you can't talk to this. If you don't know them, you can't even look at them. You know, in the old days, if it was somebody from down the street and they approached you, you wouldn't run away, you wouldn't slam the door. I mean, we're almost kind of trained to be insulated against everybody around us.
My wife refers to that as the stranger danger syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of that, you know, has become necessary because, you know, we've, you know, kids have turned up missing and there's been more publicity to that. And so, you know, the level of paranoia starts to ramp up. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that the stranger danger is something that we should laugh at and dismiss.
No.
But that may be something that really has affected the, you know, society and the way that you know, kids interact. But, you know, I got to tell you though that, you know, we were taught how to deal with strangers, and more importantly, not deal with strangers. Although you know, in an act of confession, I will say that I probably violated every one of those rules when I was a kid, because I even remember, you know, I grew up in Puerto Rico in the 60s, and I remember people from my neighborhood, they would see me walking down the street, and they would say, hey, you want to ride home? And I would get into a car with people that I barely knew.
Yeah.
I knew that they were in the neighborhood, but I didn't have any contact with them. That's something that today people would go screaming with. Amber alerts are made of less.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just a different world today. I don't know what the answers are. You know, what we do at Cabranes Law Offices is when you run into these headwinds, I mean, we try to provide whatever help we can to help you navigate the system and to help have a good outcome in your situation. So if you get the impression that somehow we're blaming people, no. You know, we understand that there are root causes to this. We want to help you. If you have a problem, give us a call at 262-638-0529. Operators are always standing by, but they're standing by between 8:30 in the morning and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You may get a ringtone after that. But give us a call. Consultations are always free. We'll sit down, we'll talk about your problems, see if we can help you. But I think we're out of time.
We are, and we're going to do it again next week. 634-9756, 634-WRJN, Attorney Cabranes, Associate Attorneys Shanaz Lakdawala and Jordan Schrader. Until next week, we'll do it again.
Thank you.
Thank you. The Cabranes Law Hour on WRJN.
Thank you, sir. We will not see you next week.
This has been a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Get your questions ready and tune in again next Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock for your chance to call in right here on your radio friend WRJN.